Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health Suites. Modern advancements in science and technology have resulted in a wide range of digital devices being developed to help us carry out our various daily activities in a smoother, more efficient manner. One of these devices is the fitness tracker. Usually worn on one's wrist like a watch, a fitness tracker records a person's daily physical activity, be it the number of steps a person walks or the distance that a person runs. It also aids in monitoring how many calories have been burned and the fluctuations in heart rate during a user's workout. Today, Money FM 89.3 welcomes Dr. Grace Huang, resident doctor, DTAP Clinic Group, to tell us all we need to know about fitness trackers and how they can and might benefit users in keeping their individual physical health in check. Welcome to the show, Dr. Huang. How have fitness trackers changed the way people monitor and work on their physical training regimes? Or did they actually make us start thinking about it?
Okay, so I think, gone are the days when fitness trackers were just basic step tracking devices.
Right.
So now, like you mentioned, you know, the market is full of things, devices which can measure heart rate, your speed, even your VO2 max, and the devices can actually feedback to you as to what intensity of exercise you're doing and all that, sleep tracking and all that. So, we're looking at a new sort of age almost where there are even gyms which are built around this entire concept. So there are certain gyms where you go in and then they provide you with like a heart rate monitoring device which provides you with real-time feedback throughout your entire workout session. So be it whether you're doing an exercise class or if you're training by yourself, you get real-time feedback about your heart rate, the intensity at which you're exercising. So all this helps you to modulate, you know, your training session.
I started wearing fitness trackers a few years ago and I find that it does help in some ways. One of the ways is I am asthmatic, so I always need to worry about pushing myself too hard. And although it doesn't tell me, oh, wait, you know, you're pushing yourself too hard in that sense, it does tell me that my heart rate is above where it should be, then I need to sort of pull back when I'm working out. But how do you think it works for the average person? What do they get out of it from a daily basis if they wore a tracker?
So I think, trackers can serve various functions. So one is on a day-to-day basis.
Sure.
And we're talking about maybe not necessarily someone who goes to the gym 5 times a week.
Sure.
Even just the average person. The tracker can be useful in the sense that it tells them exactly how much they are moving about in a day. And nowadays, we have trackers which can also provide regular reminders for you to get out of your chair, walk more. So all this contributes to the amount of activity, like low intensity activity you do in a day, which in turn is beneficial for your overall health.
Okay.
So that's the first thing for, you know, the average person who may not necessarily be an avid gym goer. And the second is for people who take their exercise quite seriously. So trackers can be useful in the sense that they can tell you, you know, in the middle of your workout, how intensely you're exercising, and then you can tweak your workout accordingly. So there's real-time feedback so that you're not just intuitively exercising.
Right.
Yeah, there's something a bit more objective to go by.
Actually, one of the things that I found out was quite useful with my tracker is I could actually use the fitness programs that has been pre-designed for you. So I'm just, okay, start, and then it tells you walk faster now, walk slower now, or run now. And I wouldn't be necessarily thinking that in terms of, oh, I'm just going to go out for a jog. But the tracker will tell me when to start going faster and pushing my heart rate up. Okay, now it's time to... And that was kind of fun because I didn't realize that I could optimize my workout that way. Do you think that, well, you know, without endorsing any tracker, do you think that more people should use them then?
Well, I would say that fitness trackers definitely do have a place in encouraging overall health. They may not necessarily be a must for everyone because certainly they do come with some limitations.
Right.
But if we understand these limitations, then we can use trackers to improve our daily health.
Right.
And in fact, there has been some research that showed people who wear a fitness tracker may actually end up walking more than they usually would simply because there's some sort of mental incentive to move more.
Oh, it's a little competition with yourself. Oh, only 6,000? I need to go 12. You know, that kind of thing. It's possible. I find I check the number every once in a while and go, oh, that seems very low. and maybe I should do something about that. We're speaking to Dr. Grace Huang, resident doctor, DTAP Clinic Group, talking about fitness trackers, how they can benefit users in keeping track of their individual physical health. How much of that information is useful to a doctor?
I would say that, well, at this point in time, everything has to be taken with a pinch of salt, simply because there's such a huge variety of trackers on the market.
Right.
And the amount of actual proper, thorough research that has been done on each and every single brand is very scanty, you can imagine. Yeah. So we don't have actual data to say tracker A, you know, is accurate to this extent in monitoring heart rate, tracker B, and so on. So I think from a medical point of view, a tracker could provide perhaps a rough gauge. For instance, if someone comes in and tells me that their tracker says their heart rate is persistently abnormally high, then I might pay closer attention to that.
Right.
But yeah, you know, everything taken with a bit of pinch of salt.
You'd still want to do your diagnostics, right? What is your opinion? You know, everyone, every single doctor I've had in here for Health Suites has said, we need to get more active, we need to get moving. And there are at-risk age groups, like from 50 onwards, it's time to get moving, it's time to start thinking of your health. So what about a 50-something-year-old who thinks, okay, it's time for me to get fitter? Would a tracker benefit them?
I would say absolutely, in fact. So some people may say, you know, people who are a bit older may find the new range of trackers on the market too complicated, too confusing
how
to
insulting.
Use.
Insulting.
But, but you know what? All they need is a basic step tracker.
Right.
All they need is something that can monitor their daily step count. And in fact, that's precisely what the National Steps Challenge is doing. So the National Steps Challenge is actually in their fifth cycle this year.
Okay.
And they have this special component called the Silver Challenge.
Okay.
So this is actually targeted at people born before the year 1959.
Okay. Okay.
And they've got all these very cute incentives, like to get these people to walk more, like a special tracker, special heritage trails where they can get together and walk and all that, and walking targets to meet with incentives and all that. So I think this is perfect, absolutely perfect in encouraging, you know, older people to move more instead of just staying at home or sitting down.
Okay, so from what age group do we start trying to encourage people to put trackers on their wrists and walking more?
I don't think there's a specific age group, honestly.
Okay.
I think a tracker could benefit anyone.
Who is sedentary.
Yes, precisely.
All right. How reliable? You said, you know, there isn't a lot of research done and so many different brands. But right now, how reliable should we take the information for those of us who are wearing trackers when it tells us this is our heart rate or this is our, you know, whatever. You know, so many different brands with so many different bits of information that it feeds us. How seriously should we take that information?
So I think that is a really good question. So it really depends on which parameter we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So research has actually shown that trackers are fairly or very accurate in terms of, number one, step count.
Okay.
So we can trust that. The second is, of course, monitoring heart rate. When you are either sedentary or doing light exercise.
Okay.
However, unfortunately, the accuracy of monitoring heart rate tends to go down as you engage in more vigorous exercise. And the reason why this is the case is because of the method by which they measure heart rate.
Okay.
So the device, you wear it on your wrist, it emits a light which detects your wrist pulse signal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, depending on the amount of light which is absorbed, a signal is transmitted back to the tracker.
Right.
So that's how it interprets your pulse.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine if someone is running at a fast pace or doing some sort of HIIT exercise at the gym, swinging their arms wildly, there's going to be a lot of sweat, there's going to be a lot of movement, and all this is going to potentially interfere with the heart rate monitoring.
Right.
Which is a bit sad because, you know, it's a bit ironic. That is exactly when you want to get your heart rate. But that is also the point at which you may not be able to trust the data so much.
You know, I hadn't even thought of that, but you're absolutely right because you are sweating, you are moving around. And then, yeah, okay, I get it. So don't trust it when I'm actually working out.
Or rather, maybe not don't trust it, but take it with a pinch of salt and don't be too upset.
How big is this pinch of salt I should take it with?
I would say don't let it affect your workout. Like, you know, some people get unnecessarily hung up about numbers. So
okay.
They feel like if they don't hit a certain target, they must push more. So that could potentially be dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. So I think what is more important is not so much looking at absolute numbers, but looking at an overall trend.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about sleep tracking? How accurate do you think that is?
So the thing about sleep tracking is that sleep is actually a very, very complex phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So formal sleep studies actually involve things like measuring brain waves, mm-hmm. Your oxygen saturation, all these various parameters. But your fitness tracker, essentially, the only thing, or most of them on the market, they just measure arm movement.
Right.
So the tracker assumes that when one is asleep, they're not moving their arm. So this could be problematic for someone who is lying quietly in bed trying to fall asleep.
Right. Because you're not actually asleep.
No.
All right. Do you have final words of advice before I let you go for people who are considering maybe using a fitness tracker?
Yes, one last thing. Mm-hmm. Don't be too hung up about calories burnt.
Okay.
Simply because there was a large study where they analysed more than 60 research papers and mm-hmm. it was found that essentially you cannot trust them or you can't trust fitness trackers when it comes to energy expenditure.
Okay.
So for all the ladies or whoever out there who are fretting about calories burnt, don't worry so much. Health and fitness is way more about more than just about calories burnt. So just go out there, exercise, have a healthy diet and that's it.
Okay, yeah. So throwing out the calorie counter function on our tracker, would you say if you're going to use it for step counts and stuff like that, why not, right?
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Grace Huang, resident doctor, DTAP Clinic Group, for coming in and shedding some light. And you really did shed some light on the fitness trackers for me. I'm sure you helped our listeners as well. You're on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.